Wilshire. Good morning. And Wilshire Live, good morning to you as well. What a beautiful Sunday morning. I hear it's supposed to be 103 or 4 today. 106? Woo! Okay, get ready for that heat. Get ready for the heat. I got tricked when I moved to Fullerton. I don't know what happened. We love Fullerton. It's beautiful. But man, that's hot. That's going to be a hot one. On a more serious note, we want to share as a staff and as a church that our hearts and condolences go out to many of you know about tragic news in our community and in our nation and so many different things going on. We just want to continue to maybe stop and pray for all of those that are hurting in a time where we're not trying, we don't want to say who's necessarily right or wrong, but that we as a church would show mercy to those who are hurting. Wherever they fall, and so that we would walk alongside them as followers of Jesus and show people in our community and in our nation the love of Christ. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that no matter how many difficult things and tragedies happen in our nation, in our own neighborhood, that you continued to be God. And Lord, we look to you to calm the storm. We look to you for peace in troubling times. Lord, would you be that peace? Would you be that rock in our lives when life is crazy? Lord, may we look to you and only to you. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we are continuing our sermon series called The Center. And the center of all things that we continue to point to is Jesus, is God. And that is our hope and prayer as we look through and explore in the book of Mark. As Mark is writing this story, he was being told by one of Jesus's followers, his apprentices, his disciple, Peter. And so Peter's telling the story to Mark, and Mark is writing down the things that Jesus did and as he lived this life and he walked and he healed. And so we get to hear all of these wonderful stories in Mark. And so we will go to Mark chapter 5 this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or you can flip, you can look on the screen, or we should have our big blues in front of you. Page 815 if you're following in there. And if you don't have a Bible, please, that's our gift to you. Please take that home. If you do, go ahead and put it back and bring your Bible next week. And so let's get here, Mark 5. Now, this really is an interesting story. I find this, you don't hear it preached a lot. And there's certain reasons because it's a little bit of an odd story. But I feel like it is a beautiful story because it really gives us a picture of Jesus's mission as he's here on this earth and how our lives are transformed through his mission and through his work. So let's explore. Let's go there. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. So it picks up, Jesus is with his disciples, so it says, They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. I told you, it's already getting weird, right? A man from the tombs comes out to meet Jesus. And so continuing along, verse 3, this man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons of his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. So here from the very beginning, we see that Jesus is with his disciples. And if you're following along, and we have notes this morning. We've got notes. They're there for note takers that if that's your thing, go ahead. And if not, if we'll have a few fill in the blanks, we will post those later on. So if you miss one, don't worry about it. I know sometimes I can do that following notes like, oh, I missed one, and ignore the whole rest of the sermon because you're focused on that. We'll get it to you if you miss it. And sometimes it just might be on me. I might forget to share it with you. So forgive me if I do that. But so if you're taking notes, what you see at the very beginning that we have Jesus, he goes to the other side. Jesus is a lot of his ministry is in the Sea of Galilee. And so he's crossing along and he crosses what the scriptures say, to the other side. So Jesus goes to the other side. And so he's going over here where a lot of it, so Jesus, where his main ministry is, he's where there's a lot of other Jews are there. And then he goes over to this area called the Decapolis or the Gerasenes. And so what you have is that's one of the cities of the Decapolis, which is 10. So you have 10 small cities, and these were Gentile cities, so non-Jewish cities. And so you have a lot of other religions, a lot of other gods in these cities. And so Jesus enters in, he goes where a lot of Jews wouldn't go. So this is, from the beginning of this story, Mark is showing this is very significant. Because really it's the story of Jesus's, his whole ministry, his whole life. Jesus, God of the universe, comes to earth, where the things are messy and things aren't necessarily all put together. And here you have a perfect God who enters into a world where there's sin, there's pain, there's suffering. And so now you have Jesus, a Jewish man, he's fully man and fully God, and he goes over to the other side. Why? Because he cares. Why? Because he has a mission, not just for the Jews, but eventually for the whole world to come to know Jesus' love. And so it's so interesting, though. I think this point can't be passed, because it, for the Jewish mindset, it really was the other side. You know, do we have places in our own neighborhood that are the other side? Oh, I don't want to go to that neighborhood or that community. And so there's this mindset that was there among the Jews of saying, oh, that they're different than us. They think differently. They worship different gods. And Jesus says, yeah, let's go there. Let's go there. And so in our world, we live in a polemic world, don't we? I mean, especially with, presidential election, you know, whether Republican or Democrat, we just live in a world where it's this is my side and this is your side, and we argue with each other all of the time. Whether it's through neighbors or family or Facebook, whatever that is, and maybe a lot of you, Wilshire Live, if you're on Facebook, and some of you are as well, have you seen somebody posting something and you've had to unfriend them because they post so much and you're just like, I just disagree with that. And so we live in this world where Facebook can just be one of these terrible places where it's just politics that just get slammed left and right without a lot of love and mercy. And you see from the very beginning, Jesus, by simply going to the other side, he wants the other side to know that they are understood, that they are loved. So if you find yourself as a Christian believer, whether you're on one side or the other of a spectrum, may you too go to the other side and show mercy. May you go to the other side and listen. And Jesus goes to heal eventually, which we'll see. So it's a really interesting scene, right? So Jesus crosses the lake, he goes to the other side, and then he steps out of the boat, and then what happens? So we find that Jesus, so if you're following the notes, and I don't know if we can have it up on the screen as well, that you have Jesus, but then Jesus goes. So Jesus goes to the other side. In our second point, you'll see that there's Jesus and an arrow towards. The man is drawn to Jesus. Let's look at this in the text. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. So we see that this man, and we'll pick back up right there. This man, Jesus steps out of the boat, and what? The man comes to him. There is something about Jesus as he's walking this earth that we see it when he walked through the city. Jesus is like a magnet. And people are coming to him. This man who Mark notified, he lets us know right here three different times. This man was in the what? In the tomb. In the tomb. In the tomb. Mark is making it clear that this man was an outcast of society. He didn't live where the rest of the community lived. He lived where there was death. He lived where there wasn't life, and he was going around, and maybe if you're new to church, you're not really sure about this whole demon-possessed thing, but I think we could see that a man that is crying out, he's cutting himself, has a problem. He has a problem. And so maybe if you're struggling with this whole demon-possessed, and you might want to, a lot of psychologists will say, maybe he had this disorder and that. True, he might have, but we see that this man is possessed by an evil spirit. And so sometimes we try and over-scientificize, I don't know if that's a word, but we try to put, I got to clap for that word, all right. We try to put maybe scientific terms, not that that's a very good thing, but maybe we try and do that to control it, to try and explain it. But I think we could all admit that there's evil in this world. There are things in this world that don't go the way that we want to. And the Bible says that there is an enemy that is working, and he is the author of evil. And he is the one that's trying to deceive people and pull people far away from God and his love. So wherever you ever stand here this morning, whether you can fully accept that this man is demon-possessed or not, I think we can all agree to that fact, that there is trouble. And so this man comes, he's in trouble, and he comes to Jesus. Now, it's so interesting that the scriptures say that even the demons believed in Jesus. Even the demons believe that God exists. Yet they don't call him Lord. They don't follow him. They don't obey him. So this man, he says, what do you want with me, son of the God Most High? And he says, don't torture me. And he says, don't cast me out. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus asks him his name, and he responds, for we are legion, for we are thousands. Thousands of us are in. It's a Roman soldier, a centurion, word that they would use for a large army. And so there's this description that there's thousands of demons in this man, controlling this man. And so what is going on here? And Jesus asks him his name and then says this. The story continues. Verse 11, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 in number rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town in the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been demon-possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid. So I told you, this story gets weirder, right? So you have this demon-possessed man, and then all of a sudden you have this story of 2,000 pigs and the demons entering in. What is going on here? Why would Jesus allow this? Is this cruelty to animals on Jesus' part? First, we have to see that one, it isn't Jesus that sends the pigs down there. It's the demons that enter in control, and they enter into a state of chaos and go down. But Jesus is showing, he's showing two things here. Jesus throughout, and you see it throughout Mark's gospel, in the very beginning of Mark's gospel, if you were with us, we said that he begins by stating overall that this is the gospel, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is, and this word gospel, good news, was used for Roman rulers, for Caesar Augustus, who would say, good news, there's victory, we have won. That Mark, and Mark's gospel, and throughout Jesus' stories, and throughout Jesus' life, he uses things of this world and he turns them upside down. Caesar Augustus would say, I am Lord. Jesus comes into the scene and say, you might have heard that Caesar is Lord, but Jesus says, I am Lord. I am God. Now what's going on here with the pigs? The pigs, in Jewish circles, they were unclean. And so in the laws of Leviticus, they say that a good Jewish man or woman could not own a herd of pigs because these animals were unclean. Now on the other side, they would have pigs, and some of them even worshiped them as deity, and they would use these pigs for worship. So what is Jesus doing here? Jesus is taking this religion of this people and this group and saying, this isn't Lord. These pigs, they don't have power. And so who has the power is, I have the power. Jesus says, I have the power to control evil spirits. I have the power over life and death. And he casts the demons out and he sends them to the pigs. Now, if you're still struggling with this story, Jesus, you'll see that a man was liberated and that these pigs, I mean, think about it. In our day and age, if you're a Jewish mindset, imagine them as maybe, rats with the bubonic plague or, you know, something. If in your mindset, if you're thinking, oh, cute little pigs, you know, Babe or Piglet or, you know, all the little stories where we love pigs. Think it's like the rats that have this contagious disease. That's what it would be like. And so there's that mindset. As Jesus is teaching, he's showing this country, this group of people, what you are worshiping is just an animal. A man was saved here. A man who lived in the tombs now has life. Because notice, you see in the story, people go and tell all of these owners what's going on, and they come back and they see the man, he's healed. It says he's sitting there, he's fully dressed, and he's in his right mind. And so they see this, and all of a sudden, they're not so upset about losing, and this was probably a livelihood, or even if they thought it was deity, they want Jesus to leave. They don't ask him, hey, you got to pay for all these pigs. They're a little bit scared. And there's some fear and there's some amazement and they're not really sure what's going on, but something's going on here. And they just say, Jesus, you got to get out of here. So their world, Jesus turns their world upside down. And we'll get back to these people in just a little bit. But the story continues. So as this man's healed, it picks up. In verse 18, it says this, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you. Really, this morning, what we're calling the sermon is, don't get in my boat. The man is here and he just gets healed and he's in his right mind. He was running around the tombs. He was out of his mind, so much so that he would break chains. He had the power of these demons, and really no chain could bind him. So yet this man was free. He had all the freedom in the world. And that's really what sin is, right? We have all the freedom we think, yet this man's life was destroyed by the demons. His life was destroyed by evil that caused him to be separated from the rest of society. They tried to bind him with chains and control him, but no chain could control him. Yet the power of Jesus that spoke calmness to the storm and the sea spoke calmness to this man's life. And he spoke peace into this man's life. And this man had experienced a peace. We don't know how long he was demon-possessed, but it must have been for some time. And this man finally got to experience peace. And he experienced it through Jesus. So what's his natural inclination? Jesus, I want to go and be with you. Which is a good thing. It's a good thing to want to be with Jesus. But Jesus says no. He says, don't get my boat. That's the translation. Paraphrase. Not my boat. Why? Because Jesus says you need to go. Do you see it here? He says, verse 19, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you. So if you're taking notes, it says the man was healed and he met mercy. He met mercy. And then that the man wanted to get in the boat. And where do we want to get in the boat in our lives? So what this man does is he's wanting to be with Jesus. Where do we try to find comfort in our lives? This man just wanted to be by Jesus. He wanted to find comfort, which isn't a bad thing. But Jesus says, no, your life has been changed. Go tell your people about it. We firmly believe here at Wilshire that we should be trained as disciples and train our missionaries and do all of these things. But Jesus says from the point, this man moments ago, seconds ago, was just running around cutting himself. And now Jesus says, go. Go be a preacher. Imagine it this way. And this might contemporize a little bit. Imagine somebody comes into Wilshire and maybe was a gangbanger or had a rough past. And so he's here, comes to meet Jesus. And then what do we often do in church? We often say, okay, well, you can't wear those type of clothes. You need to dress this way. When we sing, raise your hand at this time. Put your hand down at this time. Talk like this. And really, we find what we end up teaching is churchianity and not Christianity. And so we say, we put all of these extra burdens on people and we say, you need to do this and do this, which sometimes can be very good things. But what does Jesus do here? He says, no, your life has been changed by me. Go tell what the Lord has done. You notice how Jesus is proclaiming himself as Lord. Go tell what God has done for you. And maybe that's the story we need to tell. Because what happens to that gangbanger who comes in here, who talks a certain way and looks a certain way, and then we do churchianity and he comes out, you know, hi, nice to meet you, and do-do-do-do-do. If we go back and send him back to his gangbang buddies, his friends, they're going to beat him up if he talks like that. Right? As a church, can we surround people and love people and say, no, you know what? You can. Yes, God has changed your life. Go and tell people. I always like to see it visually. Imagine if the church has surrounded somebody that just comes and meets Jesus, is healed. He meets Jesus and he meets mercy. And what if we're surrounding around this man or woman in the church and saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. Everyone's surrounding. It's a weakening. I can't, I can't, I can't. But what if the church would surround this man or woman and would pat him or her in the back and say, you can do this. You can do this. You can go to your neighborhood. You can go to your community. Why? Because you have the power of God. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Acts 1:8, if we could pull it up, says this. It says, but you will receive the power. These are Jesus' words. It says, as you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, you will be my witness. What do you have? What is your testimony? When you are a witness in court, you're not called to be the prosecutor. You're not called to be the defender. God doesn't need prosecutors. He doesn't need defenders. He needs witnesses. Witnesses that say, I don't, maybe sometimes to be not be afraid when we don't know the answers. I don't know all of the answers, but I know that God has changed my life. This man had a story. The town knew where he had been, what he was doing, and he had a wonderful story. And he said, I don't know all these answers, but Jesus changed my life. God changed my life. And that too can be our story. Because sometimes in the church, we say, well, I don't know enough. Bible studies are good, and I encourage you to do them and to learn more and study your scripture. But right now, if you are a believer, you know enough. Your life has been changed. Go and tell. It says this, telling people about me everywhere. Everywhere you go, tell people. You don't necessarily have to run off to Uganda or Latin America. You have been placed in your own neighborhood. Maybe God is calling you to another side, and maybe you should listen to that. But he's also planted you in your neighborhood, in your community, with your friends, your family, and he wants you to tell people about him everywhere you go, to your people. And it doesn't have to be complex. I mean, think of what the early disciples would do. Early evangelism. This is Jesus. Here he is. That's it. Simple. I mean, we don't have Jesus to point to, right? But we can say, I don't know. I used to struggle with anger, but now I have peace. My life was rescued by Jesus. I had this. I was healed. I was blessed. What are the ways that God has blessed you and you can share? What are the ways that God has rescued you and he wants you to go and share this story? Maybe you or I have been in the boat too long. Maybe we're afraid where we just want to park our boat on the shore and not take any risks. But Jesus sends this man out to go, and look what happens. If you have your Bibles, flip ahead. I don't think we have this on the screen. Just a page or two to the right. And it says this in chapter 7, verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region, what? Of the Decapolis. So he's back at the Decapolis. Because at the end of the story, hold your place there. In verse 20 it says, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. So in verse 20, he goes back to the Decapolis and he tells everybody what Jesus had done. So if your notes are there, it's a simple fact. And I'm not trying to be oversimplistic, but he listened. Jesus said, go and tell, and the man listened. Look what can happen, friends, when this man listens, when we listen to God, he shares a simple story, and the people were amazed. And then when he returns, it says, continuing in verse 32 in chapter 7, there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. They had heard of what Jesus had done, and now they're bringing this man to Jesus. Notice this subtlety in verse 33. After he took him aside, away from the what? The crowd. The crowd. These are the people that said, Jesus, we want no part of you. You turned our religion. We were worshiping these pigs. These pigs were a big deal to us. They were our commodity. They were our livelihood. We want no part of you. And yet they saw a transformed life, and what? Now they were amazed, and now the crowds are gathering. Jesus, if you're taking notes in the last one, Jesus is gathering all people towards him. If you have your pen, draw arrows towards Jesus, because this one man goes, so many are attracted to Jesus. And God uses the simple, whether God has given you a lot of intelligence or you just consider yourself a simple person. God calls you to be a witness, and his power will come upon you, and God can use you wherever you are. So maybe this morning whether you come and you're just hearing about this, maybe the story of the gospel, the story of the Bible, is that all of us come like this man at the tomb. We're broken. Whether we're on a spectrum of just where this man was an outcast of society, or simply what the Bible says, whether you have a lot of sin or a little sin, that you have been alienated from God. And yet the story of the Bible is that Jesus comes to us all in our messes, in our brokenness, and he comes in and he speaks grace and truth, mercy to this man who is broken and is now in his right mind and dressed properly. What a picture of the kingdom of God. He is clothed in righteousness. That's what the scriptures say, that when we believe in Jesus, that he gives us his righteousness. He gives us his perfection. His glory is upon us. And so we see that this man's life has been changed, and so many of our lives have been changed here. I would encourage you as we pray that maybe this might be the morning where you would take a step of faith and maybe say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Maybe I want to surrender. I'm tired of being broken. And maybe for you, if you find yourself a believer, maybe today is the day that you would hear Jesus' voice and say, go share what the Lord has done. He has been good to you. And if you have your notes on the back, it says what to list what God has done for me. How has the Lord delivered you? What are those things that you could write down that maybe it's pain, maybe it's suffering, maybe God has given you joy, he's blessed you in certain ways. How can you tell others what God has done for you? And maybe the other aspect of those notes, where is your Decapolis? Where is your home? Where do you need to go and to share this good news with others? God is too good for us just to keep to ourselves. We can't just stay in the boat with Jesus. He wants us to take this beautiful, this message that our lives have been transformed and go and share. And we see that thousands of lives were impacted because of this man's willingness to share that. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. How good it is to see and maybe such an interesting story, Lord, the message of your gospel, that you came to this earth in our brokenness and our shame, and yet you went so that you sent your son to die on the cross. Lord, you healed the broken. You give life to the wicked, those, all of us that are in tombs. Father, today as we pray, may we just simply say this, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of roaming around empty tombs. Things that don't pan out, that things that I thought would give life don't give life. I'm tired. Father, I want to be healed. I want to be rescued by you. Lord, may I go and tell this story. May I not be ashamed of your goodness. May I not be afraid as you promise to be with us. Your word says, if you are for us, who can be against us? Lord, there is no amount of evil that can stand against us in this world. May we trust that here this morning. May we rely on you and lean on you for strength and power in these times. We thank you for your grace, for your love for us this morning. God, we love you. Amen.